Thank you for tuning in to the Inclusive Activism Podcast. Again, this is Rowdy Duncan. I'm your host, and I am kind of playing with the format a little bit here today. So what I'm trying to do is I'm working off a blog, and normally I kind of type up what I'm thinking of, sort of give it to you with a little bit of a filter. It's got my thoughts organized. It has a sense of where I'm coming from. And so I'm kind of playing with things a little bit with the Inclusive Activism Podcast. Again, the Inclusive Activism Podcast specifically is about diversity, inclusion, and personal leadership. The reason I put it together is because I don't believe anybody's really looking at leadership through this lens. And we all need the opportunity to become better people, to serve the people in our life a little bit better, to find a way to become more effective. And by advocating for those that need it through the arena of diversity and inclusion, I found a way that is going to help you become a better leader. So one of the things that we're going to talk about today is the idea of self-care. Self-care is going to be big in 2017. A lot of folks talk about it. Stephen Covey speaks about it in his Seven Habits book. He talks about it as sharpening the saw, and I'll kind of talk about that a little bit in the podcast. I really like the Seven Habits, especially the eighth habit, which is really finding your voice and finding a way to advocate in the world on behalf of others. I'm really excited because the last podcast I did was the interview with Dr. Whitaker, which I'm thinking is going to be a part one, part two, or we might just make one mega podcast out of it. I really enjoyed the conversation, so I'm really excited to kind of see where this podcast goes and how it evolves. And, you know, really the reason I put it together is this Inclusive Activism Podcast is meant to be a way to talk about leadership through the lens of diversity and inclusion, but it's also a way to serve more people than I currently do. I think I've learned a few things here, and I want to try to find a way to articulate these things that I'm learning and coming to understand to you. And so the hope is to share this, to give it to people, to find a way to spread the message, because at the end of the day, it's about who you serve and the difference that you've chosen to make in the world. Now, I get better with that process, but at the same point in time, if I really want to leave a legacy, I echo what matters through me to others. So here we are, and I'm rolling, and I'm back at my desk, which is really nice because I have this whole ritual where I get my breathe deep tea, so hopefully you don't hear me cough or have too many unnecessary throat noises. So, and then I've got my essential oil burning, which is some peppermint, which is some chamomile, which is some lavender, kind of get me in the zone, give me a good space. So I'm excited about that. So we're going to kind of take a deep dive into this tactic, which is going to help you become a better active anti-ist in the world and help you become a better inclusive activist, as we're all in our process and we're all trying to work on those things. And if we don't really dig in and take the time to engage in self-care, to make sure that we are our best selves when it's time to do the work, there's gonna be no person to do the work. We are the place where the work comes from. So unless we take care of ourselves, unless we're looking out for ourselves, unless we're trying to look at ourselves systemically and holistically and make sure that we are well taken care of, we're not gonna be able to take care of others. So that's really what we're gonna kinda talk about. The good news is 2016 is over. Finally, thank goodness, right? 2016 was a rough year. Although I don't think it's going to be something that changes necessarily. I only see things kind of continuing. In 2016, so many people were worried about people passing away. I think we're going to see every year people passing away at a bigger and bigger rate because simply there's more and more stars out there in the world. And two, people didn't really take that good care of themselves. And so we're going to see that manifest through people passing away early as they don't engage in self-care themselves. In the past year, countless events have arisen, and they really challenged social and justice movements across the world on a global scale. The notion that 2017 is going to be hugely different is only because you think the date is different. You think because there's a new number, things are going to be different. I don't think 2017 is going to be much easier than 2016. I actually think 2017 is going to be harder and much more difficult. That's why I wanted to talk to you today about self-care and the importance of really engaging in that stuff. Because it's going to be fraught with more trials. And I'm not here to be pessimistic. I don't like pessimism. I don't think pessimism necessarily takes you where you want to go. But we need to be real with ourselves in 2017 too. We need to remain illuminated to the notion that this year is going to be more difficult. And the people that love inclusivity, the folks of us that are here to try to make sure that we're creating a fair and just and equitable world for all people, those of us that are trying to reach the heights of leadership, become the best person we possibly can be by looking out for everybody else around us. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to be a person of any stature, you are measured by the value you give to and the amount of people that you serve. And we are going to need to serve a lot of people in 2017. My mother's always told me that if your situation is bad, that's good, because then you're needed. Your value is going to be there, and that means that there's plenty of work to do. In 2017, never before will our skill set for those of us that have the ability to engage in inclusive action, in diversity appreciation, and engaging in civil dialogue, that's going to be in demand more than ever this year. I think there's going to be a real attack on the notion of inclusion and notions of equity. Being called out to bring our best selves to the table in a fight for justice is going to be mandatory. But we're going to get burnt out at the end of January if we're not taking care of ourselves. You know, we need to take the time to rest, we need to take the time to regroup, or we're going to find ourselves spent. So lest we find ourselves completely spent by mid-February, we're going to need to try to look at what we need to do to take care of ourselves, to rest, to rejuvenate, to spend time with people that understand and appreciate stuff with us, but also not spend too much time with them too. You know, there's going to be this really weird area where we're going to try to negotiate being both out there in the world and making a difference, but then also taking this time to withdraw, to look in, to take care of yourself, to really look at what you need to do in order to be your best self at doing the work that's necessary out there. It's essential that we need to take care of ourselves, and we're going to kind of try to look at that from a personal sense of this triple bottom line notion that I've mentioned before. We're going to look at ideas and notions of how we can try to take care of ourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. You can also kind of like use spiritually as a form of heart renewal if you're turned off by the term spiritually. This is something that I think we need to acknowledge exists and then try to figure out how we can kind of make that stuff a little bit better. When I talk about self-care, one of the best stories I've ever heard, and I'm going to source it because I didn't come up with this myself, came from Stephen Covey and the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. In it, there's a story of this guy, and he's cutting down a tree, right? Cutting down a tree, cutting down a tree, cutting down a tree, sweating, swearing, having the worst time in the world, trying to cut through this tree. And just, you know, obviously it's a lot of effort. And a person walks by and they see that there's this blade sharpener right next to him, and they can tell that blade must be pretty dull. And they're like, why don't you take a few minutes to stop and sharpen that blade? The person that's cutting down the tree is like, I can't, I don't have time. I'm already behind, I'm already killing myself, I'm already spent. I gotta try to get this done. I can't take the time to sharpen the saw. And that's the funny thing, because if we took that time to really look at where are we, what does it take to be and become our best selves, how are we taking those steps to make sure that we're bringing our best selves to the table, we would be more effective. We would be able to do what we are called and asked to do in a better way. But all too often, we really don't think about what it means or what the world would look like or what our work would look like if we were better. And how can you even envision that idea? Better you. I mean, what does better you look like? What does better you feel like? How would better you do you? We can't envision better us because it's an experience. But at the same point in time, we do have the ability to project concepts and ideas onto the future. How much better would your work be? How much better would you do your life if you took 3 days a week and you took 20 minutes and you meditated? How much more aware would you be? How much more calm would you be? How much more patient would you be? What would your life look like if you made it a point to take a walk every single day at a beautiful time of the day and just look and reflect on the beauty that exists in the world? Some time to just take a stroll. You know, I kind of try to do it when I walk my dogs. Have no particular place to go and just be centered in that moment right there. You know? How much better would we feel if we engaged in weight training and we had a stronger, healthier body? How much better would I be if I did regular, consistent cardio? Right now, I think I'm in. Well, we'll see if I finish my 3rd week of decent cardio. What would it be like if my heart was stronger? What would it be like if my respiratory system was more effective? What would it be like if my body was more healthy and was able to withstand strain and stress better? I mean, that's what cardio does, right? It pushes your body to a place where it really needs to feel that resistance of difficulty. Frankly, it's going to make your body better at delivering oxygen, nutrients to your muscles, to your brain. Taking care of your heart is huge. And I don't do cardio. I lift weights and act as though lifting weights is cardio. It's not necessarily the case. I think all too often we can get stuck in this idea of just hoping that today's a good day. I'm here to tell you, I don't know that 2017 is going to be filled with like a buttload of really great days. I think 2017 is going to be filled with a lot of opportunities to make a big difference, but I don't know that we're just going to have a lot of easy days. And we get stuck in this easy day thinking, you know, is today going to be easy? Will I have enough money? Will I have everything I need? And I think the focus, especially for us in this new year, we need to shift, especially all of us that are working on being our inclusive activist self. We need to focus on how are we going to work on making sure that we're centered? How are we going to make sure that we are stronger and better than yesterday, right? Stronger and better than yesterday is the goal. And some of stronger and better than yesterday is like laying down and taking a nap sometimes, right? Like I think so often we think of strength as difficulty, but sometimes it's rest too, and rest is just as important. Ask anybody that's really into personal fitness, like an athlete, a high-level athlete, what do? To get to where they need to be. Rest is one of the most important things that they try to maximize. And that's not a way we think in a day-to-day space. But why not? Why aren't we thinking of how to optimize our sleep? Why aren't we not thinking of what can get us deeper, more relaxing, more restful sleep? You think of getting more sleep, but you don't think of getting better sleep, right? We need to think like that. We need to transform the way we're viewing and seeing the world. So we're not in a space where we're just wishing for the reprieve of a good day. What we're doing is slowly building the strength that's necessary to make that bad day easier. And not just that bad day easier. You better prepared for all bad days that would exist. We need to take care of ourselves and understand that we are where our work comes from first and foremost. And if we don't make sure we are where we need to be, then we won't be able to produce in the way that we're gonna need to. And there's gonna be an acute need. That's why I'm bringing the podcast to you. That's why I wanna take on the responsibility of making sure I give you content 2 times a month. I wanna make sure that I'm accountable to talking to you, to helping give you tools or whatever things I can pass on that's necessary to you to get to the place that you need to be or to help the person that I won't ever be in front of. I wanna make sure I'm taking care of you, because I count on you to take care of others in my absence. So now as we kind of begin to craft this idea of a self-plan, we need to focus on 3 areas. I'm gonna break it up into mental, physical, and spiritual/heart. To do otherwise is to, if we only like look at one part of the three, we're making a stool. I'm talking about a 3-legged stool, right? So just going with the minimal legs. So if you concentrate on making a stool, no matter how good the 2 legs are, is that still going to work for you? Of course not, right? You're going to fall over every time you sit on it. But you can be like, yeah, but my mental game is sharp, Rowdy. My physical game is sharp, Rowdy. If you're missing the hard part, you're not taking care of yourself. You're not giving yourself that sturdy base that you need to push off from, to rest from, to be best you from. Our goal is to really think holistically here. How are we making sure that we're taking care of ourselves in the best way possible? So here you go. Here's some mental self-care suggestions. And I'll talk to you ones about the ones that I would like to engage in and then the ones I need to get better at, because I think being honest with my failures is really important for y'all too. So the first one is reading for education. I have not been very good at that. I give myself the excuse that I was good at it because I was in a master's program and I had to read for that. And sometimes there was stuff that was really fantastic, but at the same point in time, I wasn't reading what I wanted to read. I was reading what I needed to know for class. And that was good, but I need to get back in the habit where I'm sitting down and I'm spending time with a good book. Get to a place where I'm making sure that I'm processing information, that I'm reading, that I'm pondering, that I'm spending time on it for at least 20 minutes to 45 minutes a night. Now, really admitting I don't do this, I also need to read for just escapism, to get away from things, to not think about stuff. And I don't do that at all. I don't read, well, I guess I do read some stuff on the internet a bit. I mean, I catch up with the NFL, I like football quite a bit. Some social media reading, I think it's just escapism. But I don't read stories, and I do need to read stories, like fiction stories that don't necessarily have anything to do with like inclusive activism, because there's something about that getting away that I think that's really important. So reading for escapism is something that I need to get better at. Binge watching positive content. I do binge watch, but I don't know how positive my content is. My partner's really good at like seeing and understanding the need for positive content or finding that stuff. And I think I really need to empower or encourage my partner to find that stuff and for me to sit down and actually watch that stuff. Another thing that you need to do from time to time is just take a nap. I basically never take naps. I give myself the excuse that I don't take naps or I don't sleep well. I always feel as though I fall asleep, almost to the place where I'm about to be asleep, and then I wake up and I'm done. My partner says I actually was asleep, but I don't know, and I don't know if I feel that. But taking a nap is important, right? It's a part of the, like, resting, recharging, making sure that you're spending some self-building time over the weekend. Another thing you can do is really try to challenge your brain to think a little bit differently is work on puzzles. Try to find ways to solve things, solve problems, and not just the problems you're always used to facing. It could be mental brain teasers, or it could be literally putting the puzzle together. Finding a way to stretch your brain to think laterally more than you already do is really, really important. And my little puppy Tease is here, and she's reminding me that spending some time petting your dog is something that's good for you mentally. And she always comes by, she always looks at me and really appreciates the time that we get to have this physical contact for us together. And so that's another great one. It's not on my list, but she just happened to stop by. And spending some time with things or people or souls that just love you unconditionally is huge for your mental self-care as well as spiritual self-care. Another thing you should really look at doing is creating a bedtime ritual if you don't already have one. So for me, I try to drink tea that relaxes me. I've really found that creating a bedtime ritual, a thing that really starts to get my brain ready to sleep and rest, has been really huge. I also take some melatonin because that also helps me cue my body into like getting ready to rest and like sleep a little bit more. So that's something that I've been looking at too. In addition to that, as far as like making this bedtime ritual thing work for you a little bit more, another thing I've found as far as optimizing sleep, which is something that I really needed to do over my master's program, was manipulating light. So making sure that you're slowly turning down and off lights and you're creating more and more darkness. So you need to expose your body to more and more darkness, like over the course of, I'd say, 90 minutes specifically, of really getting your body ready to bed, because that's a natural part of what your body wants to do to rest, is it sees darkness, that's a cue to start shutting down, to start relaxing, to start doing some of that stuff. So another thing you can do is organize your living space. Let's be real, we could always take a little bit more time to make sure that our areas and our spaces are a little bit more clean and we know how to be and function in those things. This is something that's huge for my partner, but I'm used to living in a little bit of clutter and I'd like to honestly adopt a little bit more of that from her. And so there's a little basket under my desk, which is funny because I seem to kick it during the podcast all the time. But looking at my desk, it's a little bit messy and I should probably put some stuff in that basket that my partner so lovingly supplied me and use that thing because I need that a little bit more. Another thing you could do is look at TED Talks. There's some great material out there on TED. If you're into podcasts, which I would assume that you are, the TED Radio Hour is something that I listen to, and I really enjoy that. It doesn't have a lot of new content, but it is good to rehear the content that they have on there. Another fantastic mental self-care suggestion is saying no unless it's a hell yes. And rather than trying to rehash the TED Talk that I heard that from, look up no unless it's a hell yes TED Talk. And fantastic. But I think we say yes to too many things in the concern that we're going to miss out on stuff. And sometimes we should just say no and really like manage how much we are willing to do. Another thing to do is practice mindful self-compassion. That's going to be kind of in the meditate series that you'll find in all three pieces of the stool. But trying to find a way to be nonviolent to yourself, I think, is huge. And being in a space where you're aware of where you're at, not letting your thoughts lead or guide you too much, rather you being in your space, and then really looking at you and taking care of you and thinking positive thoughts about you and understanding, you know, you might have good things, you might have bad things, but you're in the process, and that's fantastic. Also, from time to time, indulge in your favorite whatever. If you want to have some donuts from time to time, have some donuts from time to time. If you want some cupcakes from time to time, you should do that, right? And then, you know, treat yourself in moderation. Don't escape into self-degradation. Reward yourself for good work. Make sure that you are taking care of yourself, but then also give yourself the opportunity to have some of the things that you really enjoy. Just don't over-enjoy. Moving on to self-care suggestions. A first one, obviously, we don't do it enough usually. Exercise, getting out there, moving your body. Your body was meant to move and do stuff, and we don't do that enough. And I think we should do that a little bit more. I have been weight training since I was about 23, and that's huge for me. I find I get frustrated, pissed, irritable if I don't spend some time just moving heavy weight. But with that, I need to do cardio. And I'm gonna make a commitment to work on that. Hopefully 3 times a week, I'm gonna engage in some cardio, and I need to do that. Another thing that I highly recommend, even though I haven't done, is yoga. It's stretching, it's feeling your body, it's being aware of spatial awareness, it's making sure that your body's functioning and feeling good. And remember, when you practice yoga, there's no such thing as perfect yoga. Stop comparing yourself to people who are doing the yoga poses better than you. You're in your process, you're doing your yoga, and that's beautiful. Again, I mentioned this a little bit before, focus on better, if not more sleep. Most of the time you're thinking about more sleep. If you can't do more sleep, think about better sleep. What can you do to slowly bring down your body and get the rest that you need in a way that you need to have it? One of the things that I'm going to look into buying in 2017 is a thing called a chili pad. So a chili pad is a device that works beneath your sheets to lower your core body temperature, because your core body temperature needs to drop, I want to say like 3 or 4 degrees before your body's really ready to bed down. And living here in Arizona, especially in the summertime, I find I have a really difficult time lowering my body temperature. So that's something I'm gonna purchase, because I wanna be able to get to sleep faster, get to sleep deeper. And I find now, even in winter, the time I start getting really quality sleep is about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's about the time that I start getting up. So I need to do something about that. Getting out there and doing, get yourself a mani-pedi. Do I do that often? No. But do people get joy from that? Yes. So should you do that? Absolutely you should do that. This next one's great depression self-care, I find. The next three. The first one is get up in the morning and wash your face. Take care of yourself. Get in there, get some water in there, get some good soap, wake your face up, get it going, brush your teeth, take care of yourself. Because that unconsciously shows your body that you have value and you're important and you need to invest in yourself. The next thing you can do is clean house. There's a sense of accomplishment in having a clean house. Now, do we need to get all Stepford-wise about our clean houses? No, absolutely not. I would say please don't do that. But at the same point in time, like, having a clean and organized space show that you care about yourself enough to make sure that you live in a space that is habitable, that's good for you, that's positive. And then another thing you gotta do out is declutter and get stuff that you don't need out of your living space. We live in incredibly full, cluttered spaces. My desk, again, wow. I gotta do something about this. Declutter and donate to causes that you care about. Another one that I'm working on right now that I'm actually engaged in this moment is aromatherapy. So I've got my little mix of peppermint and lavender oil burning, and it's really just opening up my lungs. It's calming me down. It's relaxing me. It's putting me in a good space. And it's also taking care of my respiratory system, which has been really in a rough shape. So just noticing that. Another one, positive physical touch. Now, this is not an excuse to go out there and just get with as many people as possible. When I talk about positive, I'm talking about loving self, loving touch. If you want to engage in those things, that's fine, but I'm not going to be able to tell you how to do it, because I'm not the person that has done that thing. I've just built more monogamous. That's just who I am. But touching people or pets or things that love you, and just understanding that you need to touch folks, that you need some hugs, that stuff like that's really important, is huge. You need to eat clean, like put good food in you. And understand this eating clean thing, that takes some time. You're not just gonna eat clean 2 days and all of a sudden everything's gonna be fine. Actually, within the first like 10 to 15 days, it's gonna suck, because you were addicted to sugar, you were addicted to caffeine, you were addicted to fat, you were addicted to like carbohydrates. Like, you need to get to a place where healthy effacing vegetables, meats, are getting into a place where your body, where they're making a difference and doing good stuff. This next one's really easy to do here in Arizona. Get out there, get your body in some sunlight, get some good vitamin D going on. Make sure that when you wake up in the morning, you're exposing yourself to some good positive light. Your body needs that light. It's a stress dump. That stress dump helps to wake you up. You don't necessarily need caffeine, right? Sometimes you need a good sunrise. Sometimes you need to take some time and then let your eyes see all this light, which is a huge cortisol dump, which is one of those things that naturally wakes your body up. So if you want a natural way to wake up, expose your body to a lot of light early in the morning. You need to touch some nature. You need to get your feet on the ground. There's some negative ions that are in nature that are huge, that are really big for you. I have a few salt lamps around my house. I also have a negative ion generator, which I got on Amazon for about 20 bucks. And these things are the antithesis of the positive ion we spend time around. Your phone's got negative ions, computers have negative ions. Your computer's got negative ions, your phone's got negative ions. Anything specifically that is technology related, it's throwing all these positive ions on you. And that stuff is really difficult and bad for you. And if you can spend the time in nature, you're gonna get grounded and get some more positive ions. And in my bedroom, I've got that negative ion generator. And it's funny, you spend time around negative ions specifically, you start feeling more at peace, more connected with things. You start feeling as though you're in a better space. So that's huge. Another thing you can do, especially in times of stress, just take some huge, deep cleansing breaths. Breathe through all that stuff. Get that new oxygen into your body. Get that old stress clustered thought feeling out of you by doing that stuff. If you have the opportunity, wake up gently once a week. I've got to wake up gently this entire break and it's been transformative. The fact that I can wake up not on a schedule or somebody else's time clock is huge, and the ability to be able to do that at least once a week is great. And if you can't do it once 1 week, do it twice the next. Stretch, move your body around, get your body moving every morning. You know, every single joint, like rotate it as much as you can or bend it as much as you can, like a few times every morning. It gets your blood pumping, it gets your blood flowing, and you feel like you're in a really good space. Get and then give a massage. That's awesome too. Getting or giving a massage, it's positive either way. I always think we always overrate the whole getting a massage thing, but it's huge and I think you should engage in that. So lastly, spiritual self-care stuff that you want to look at. Meditation, I'm going to set a goal for myself right now, and now I am in the place of where I'm going to have to make that public. So I'm going to attempt to do meditation at least 20 minutes, 3 times a week, okay? So please hold me to that if you call in, because I need to do it. I need to get in this space where I have more peace. Prayer or walking prayer or walking meditation, spending some time with a higher force or something that, you know, if you believe in those things, say you believe in God. You need to spend some time with God. You can't just ignore God. God, you need to be in a relationship with them, right? So make sure that you're spending some time reflecting and connecting with that being, because you need to, and it's important. Another thing that's fantastic that you could do for heart care is give and receive positive affirmation. That's another thing I'm going to look at making sure that I do, is just have, like, I don't know, I've nicknamed it Affirmation Tuesdays, because I just need to get better at saying the positive. Will it be on Tuesday? I don't know. I have to figure out how I'm going to incorporate this into my life. But Affirmation Tuesday is huge. Create art. Do something creative. Do something amazing. Engage in yoga. Drink some soothing tea. I'm drinking soothing tea right now. Soothing tea is awesome. I just need to figure out how to figure out soothing iced tea come summer. Volunteer or engage in service. I'd say that is something that I think we all should do. And it's one of those things that you think you're too busy to do. I'm too busy to engage in service, or the work that I already do is service. Do service of a different kind. I do most of my service related to diversity and inclusion work specifically, or leadership work specifically. Every now and again, I go down to feed my starving children and just pack some food boxes for kids that are hungry, and I feel a million times better. That's one of the best things you can do. If you're ever in a place where you're depressed, go make a difference for someone that truly needs it, because you are gonna up your value in a huge way that is just unbelievably self-effacing, and it's just gonna make you feel good. If you're in a place where you struggle with something, join some self-care groups, join some support groups. Look at, like, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, there's Codependence Anonymous. I wish I would have joined a Codependence Anonymous when I was in my 20s. My goodness. Create some self-care get-togethers where you just are around people that, like, love you and that care about you from time to time. That's gonna be huge. Ask for help. That's something we don't do enough, right? We wanna help everybody, but we don't ask for help. So every now and again, slow down and say, like, hey, can you help me? Because I could use that help really badly. And then if you're in a place where you need to be of service, call a friend and offer some help. offer some help on social media. I saw one of my students offer just help one random day on social media, and I was like, that's amazing. Catch a sunset, catch a sunrise. Get out there, notice that you're on the spaceship Earth, that the world keeps turning, that everything's gonna eventually be okay, and catch a good sunset, and that's gonna help your spiritual, your heart nature. Another thing that I'm really trying to own and get better at is notice your current emotion. What emotion are you having right now? What emotion are you experiencing right now? And I need to stay really tuned to that, because I'll notice that I'm experiencing anger. And anger is not a primary emotion, it's a secondary emotion. I need to understand what's the emotion behind the emotion and understand where I'm at and how I'm actually feeling about stuff. So then I can change my fortunes. And then try to give, and give in a space where you don't need reciprocation and you don't need recognition. You're just giving. Just give and know that that's good. And we're meant to do that. You're gonna get some oxytocin boosts out of that. It's gonna make you feel good. The person that's gonna get this thing from you is gonna get an oxytocin boost. They're gonna wanna give that oxytocin boost to somebody else. We are hardwired for kindness. When we do kindness, we wanna do more kindness. And it takes somebody giving first to get that kindness boost running through us. So being honest with you, in summation, 2017 might be a little bit of a train wreck, okay? It's gonna be hard, but you know, there's beauty in the breakdown. And we gotta like step back and understand that sometimes we gotta get pushed to be better. And 2017 is gonna be a year of that push. In a plane crash, they tell you to put your own oxygen mask on first, then to care for others. This is our mantra for the year. We need to remember that this is the thought moving forward. There will never be a greater need for love and inclusion than potentially in 2017. We cannot afford to recede into just safe spaces or only stay in echo chambers of negative complaint. It's tempting, and I know it feels good for a while, but it doesn't get anything done. And we need to do things. We need to get things done, and we need to make sure we're engaging in positive self-care. We need to do work, but we need to make sure we get some deep replenishing rest too. It's unrealistic to assume that we're gonna only be about work and not acknowledge that we need rest and recuperation as human beings. We can't just withdraw, and we can't just be about work. We gotta find that balance. It's gonna take a balance of both of these things to make the impact that we dream to see happening for all of us. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking breaks. Taking breaks is huge. And I think we don't talk about the need for breaks or how great historical figures have taken breaks. So just to do a little bit of diversity in regards to religion, I'm gonna talk about some folks that took breaks. So Jesus took breaks from healing people. Could you imagine? You have the ability to heal people from their malady, but you gotta go take a break to do it. Could you imagine, like, someone's like, hey, I got cancer right now. And you're like, that's great, but I need to go take a break. Because if I don't take a break, I can't heal you from cancer. If Jesus can take breaks, we can take breaks. The Buddha needed to take up the break of isolation to explain this concept of nirvana, to talk about how we replicate our own suffering, how we're complicit in our own suffering, to find a way to explain the need for withdrawal, for meditation, for oneness and mindfulness. The Prophet Muhammad urged people to take breaks during Ramadan. He took breaks in the evening with waters and dates. And so, like, that was that break from that fast. That fast was a time to be reflective, to understand what's important, to be good, to earn the blessings for the next year. But at the same point in time, we're humans and we need to get better. There's a long historical tradition of the observance of self-care, and we need to do things for ourselves because no one's gonna do it for us. I can't take a nap for you. I can't meditate for you. I can't eat clean for you. I can't do cardio for you. You gotta do it for yourself. And unless you understand how critically important this is for you, you're not gonna be as effective as you possibly could be. You're not gonna be the leader that you'd like to be. So for the three walkaways from today, the first one is we're gonna have to engage in self-care. Just because the year says 7 and not 6 anymore doesn't mean we're in a different space. If anything, we are in a different space, and it's gonna be a much more difficult, trying space. We need to engage in self-care, and self-care is really critical. The second walkaway that I want you to like focus on today is the fact that this self-care is gonna make us better people. by taking care of ourselves, by becoming better, by doing the little things. It's the little things that add up to make really big things. There's been this great concept that I heard before called getting 1% better. If you can find the ability to get 1% better at literally anything, that compounding interest of all those 1% every single day makes this dramatic difference in every little aspect of your life. Today, if I got 1% better at strengthening my legs because I did leg day and I have leg problems and it manifests as knee problems, then I became 1% more healthy with my knees, with my legs, and that's gonna have a huge impact on me as a person. If I get 1% better at decluttering this desk tomorrow, that's gonna be huge for me because I'm gonna know where stuff is supposed to be. I'm not just gonna throw things here, but I'm gonna have a organized space and place for everything. It's gonna be a big deal. And then the last one is that we gotta take care of ourselves, but we need to do it in three major ways. We need to do it mental, we need to do it physical, and we need to do it in a heart and spiritual way. All three of those things I think are really important. And unless we're looking at all three of those things, we're not gonna be our best selves. And we need to find a way to make sure we're bringing our best self to everything that we do. So with that is my time. This is one of the first original six podcasts. So again, there's no callers yet. I'm really hoping I get callers. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, Rowdy, I wonder where you're at. Like, or I think you're crazy or not crazy. I'm sorry. That's very ableist of me. If you think I'm off base or you think I'm not making sense or you think I'm bananas, call me and let me know. Or if you really like something that I said, call me and let me know. I mean, gosh, I need to put that in one of those things in self-care. Compliment people, right? Like the affirmation deal. Give me some affirmations. It's going to make you feel good. It's going to make me feel good. Go ahead and give me a call. It's 860-576-9393. Again, call the Inclusive Podcast at 860-576-9393 and give me some feedback. Like, let me figure out how I'm going to play your voicemail back and how I'm going to respond to it on the podcast. I don't want to necessarily just talk to myself for 40 minutes at a time. I want to have a dialogue with y'all. And if you talk to me, we're going to have a space where there's like 10, maybe 15 minutes each podcast where I can kind of respond to you about some of the things that matter to you. Make sure that you're interacting with me because that's what I'm hoping for. This is a place for me to be of service. I want selfishly to understand some of these things more. Talking about those things more in this place is important to me. But at the same point in time, unless you're having a dialogue with me, I'm just a dude sitting in my office, talking to myself, making my roommates be really quiet. And that's weird. And like, I don't want to just be weird. I'm trying to put more value out there for more people. And if you engage in this process with me, if you share the podcast, if you listen or you subscribe to it, that's going to be huge for me. And I need your help with this. This podcast is going to need your action and your interaction. I'm going to need you to call, but I'm going to need you to share it. If you thought I said was something that I said was particularly valuable, or I'm hitting on something that's really important to you, or you want me to talk about something in the future that's big, like, I need you to share it with people because it creates a bigger dialogue. It creates a bigger opportunity to explore things. And that's what I'm looking for. So give me a call, hit me with scenarios. Let me know kind of what you're thinking. I'll try to give you my first take response. And again, I'm going to look at ways that you can try to support the podcast. So I'm going to toy with looking at the Inclusive Activism. That's www.inclusiveactivism.com podcast. So you can click and support the podcast, give some money, some funds to the folks that work on this, because that's not just me. When you support the podcast, you're supporting something that's more than just me. There's folks that are trying to share it, that are getting people out there. My producer, Sarah, edits all this stuff, and I can't tell you how difficult of a job that has to be. So any funds that you donate to the podcast will help support the podcast and then further the cause. We need to be better inclusive activists. We need to all engage in this form of personal leadership that makes all of us better. We all need to like figure out how to be a better me so we can be a greater we. And that's something that we need to do. And then two, if you're interested in bringing me in to work with you or your group and trying to make yourself or the group that you work with better at what you do, I do offer diversity services. I offer leadership services. I offer inclusive activism services. And bring me in and I will be more than happy to consult with you about what we can do to make your group better and more dynamic. When we are all of our best selves, we all work better. And I'm trying to live in a space where we're living out, I think, dogma that's been passed down to us so we can all bring our best selves to who we are and the work that we do. Because I do believe that everybody needs to have good, positive work, and I do believe that us being better is important. So again, my name is Rowdy Duncan. I'm your podcast host. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the Self-Care Podcast. Stay tuned in to www.inclusiveactivism.com. At inclusiveactivism.com, I'll have blogs. You'll also get to see my videos on positive masculinity there. You'll get some information about how to book me or where I'll share interesting information on the site that will help you be a better inclusive activist. Do that. And two, if you want to get a hold of me about bringing the power of inclusive action to your community, you can do that at rowdyduncan@cox.net. That's R-O-W-D-Y. D-U-N-C-A-N at COX.net, and I'd be happy to hear from you. With that, I will talk to you in the near future. Be well.